If you have your Bibles this morning, we invite you to turn with us to the book of Genesis. We want to look today in the 18th chapter of the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter number 18. I'll ask if you would stand to your feet as we read these first 10 verses of this chapter. Genesis chapter 18, verse number 1. And the Lord appeared unto him, that's speaking about Abraham, in the plains of Mamre. And he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and bowed himself toward the ground and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away. I pray thee from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on. For therefore are you come to your servant. And they said, So do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah, and said, Make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd, and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk, and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. That's the book of Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 through 10, if correctly read. Father, we thank you this morning for the word of God. And Lord, you've shared with our hearts some thoughts. Lord, I pray this morning you'd help us, Lord, to preach your word, not our opinion. God, to share what thus saith the Lord. Help us, Lord, would you take this passage of your word and would you open it to our hearts today and help us to hear and to make application. Lord, we need your help. Lord, I know that you're able. Would you touch us and do more than we can ask or think? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Now, when I look at this great chapter of Genesis chapter 18, we certainly see that Abraham is having a, or experiencing a, heavenly visitation. Do you agree? He is entertaining angels. I believe the Lord is there as well. I just want to point this out. My dad, he called me, it's been in the last few weeks, and he said, Hello, young man. He didn't call my name. He didn't call me by my nickname. He said, Young man. And I laughed. There are occasions, I'm over 50 years old, well over 50, and there are occasions when my dad still calls me young man. In fact, I remember my grandfather, his daddy, calling my dad young man, and my dad was well into his 60s, and he would say, Young man. And so today there is a young man that I find in this text in verse 7, and I want to preach this morning about a young man. In this passage, God came to Abraham, and he manifested his presence himself to Abraham. In this passage, there's no doubt that there is a meal shared, fellowship between God and Abraham. There is in this passage a message from God to Abraham and Sarah. It is that Sarah will bear to Abraham a son that they've been year after year waiting to have. She would be 90. Abraham would be 100. I sat today with a young man over there and I thought, well, I'm going to sit over here with this young man because sitting with this young man will make me feel younger. It made me feel older. We have a lot of young preachers here in the church. We have a lot of young men that are wanting to serve God here in the church, whether they be preacher or not. We have young men who today are away preaching the gospel, and when they go, they take their families with them to go preach, and they take a lot of friends with them to go preach as well. And I feel like today that this message is to a young man, but when I say a young man, I'm meaning maybe even it's a young lady you're trying to serve God. You may say, Preacher Darren, I'm over 50 years old. My daddy calls me young man. What do you think would be young to God? So the Lord is speaking today. I want us to notice a couple things before I preach about this young man as we look at him in verse number 7. Now please notice there are some specifications about him that we need to point out. First of all, it is a young man. The word a is an indefinite article. It is a function word. If you looked in Genesis chapter 49, verse number 9, I remember I preached a series on standing before the Father as all of the tribes of Israel gathered around their father's bed. It says in Genesis 49, verse 9 about Judah that he is a lion. He is a lion. But if you go to Revelation chapter 5, you will read about the lion of the tribe of Judah. There's a difference between a lion and the lion. The lion narrows it down quite a bit. It is speaking about only one in particular. That's the Lord. Amen. Jesus Christ is the lion of the tribe of Judah. But back to Genesis 49, a young lion would be one of many. This is a young man. He is one of many. There is nothing when we read about him in these verses that we can find that is notable or noteworthy about him. There's nothing that is mentioned that says he's noble. There's no nobility noted about him. There is nothing nameable about this man. When I say nothing nameable, I'm saying we don't know his name. What is his name? Who is his mama? Who is his daddy? Where is he from? Specifically, tell me. We don't know any of those items about this young man. He is just a young man. Next of all, I think about not just specifications, but I think about his limitations. He is a young man. Being young is a limitation. Now you may say, oh no, Pastor Darren, don't you even start with me. Being young is not a limitation. Okay. Well, if you looked at the FLSA, it says that you can't be employed until you're 14. If you looked at the North Carolina driver restrictions, you can't drive till you're 16. If you looked at the 26th Amendment, you can't vote till you're 18. So don't tell me that being young doesn't limit you, because it does. In fact, being young can limit the opportunities in your life, mostly because when you're young, you're not smart. We have a school over here, and I deal with young people all the time. One young man was told by his mother, run out to the car and get such and such from the car, I forgot it. And he took the keys and unlocked the car, and it was raining. And when he looked towards where the car was and where he was, he noticed mud puddles along the way. Now you and I, we would have went around those mud puddles, whatever it took. But that young man, he considered the mud puddles, and he hit every single one of them along the way. You see, okay, well, maybe you're right. Maybe it's not that he's not smart. It's just that he's inexperienced with water in a shoe, and he doesn't know what it'll do. Some of you remember back when we were young, we were dumb. Amen. We didn't do very smart things. When you're young, inexperience will plague you. I was in revival meeting, and the pastor had asked some young men to preach that were there, to preach maybe 5-10 minutes apiece. I forget the time now. Just a popcorn preach like we do at Bethel, popcorn preach.
And it would be approximately, there's just a few young men there, probably over half the time that I was scheduled to preach that night. And to be honest with you, I wish they'd have preached all night, been all right with me. But some of the young men wouldn't come up. And they told their pastor, we take our preaching serious. And you shouldn't limit our time to whatever time it was. And their pastor, when the service was over, asked all of them to step into a classroom. And he shut that door and let them have it. Because after all, us young preachers, I can probably preach everything I know in about 5 minutes anyway. And the rest of it's just fluff. Be honest. Amen? I'm going to tell you something. There has been a time at this church that we asked our young men, all of you young men, have a thought on your heart, would you come to the pulpit and preach? We had opened up the school every Tuesday night from 6 until 7, we studied the book of the Bible. From 7 to 8, we studied history. We did that for week after week after week. We got into the fall, I believe it was around fall, we let those young men preach. We had 7 of them here. After the 5th one, so many people were in the altar, 20-some people were saved before the 6th and the 7th preachers could even, y'all remember that night? Before they could even get to the pulpit. And I said absolutely nothing. My daughter got saved in that service when some young men that were filled with the Holy Ghost and the fire and the message of God graced us with the pulpit for about 5 or 10 minutes apiece, and they preached to us and declared unto us the Word of God. Now, being young, it could limit you because of inexperience or just because we're not very smart when we are young. And all of us know that that's truth. And when I say young, I'm identifying myself. My daddy called me young man. What would God say to you when he speaks to you? I'm sure he would call you young man. And the truth of the matter is, we are very limited in our capacity. We have a flesh that fights us every day. We are limited with time and space and ability. We are limited by things in the world, in our realm. But the God we serve is unlimited. And you and I must learn to put things in his hands and get away from our limitations and trust his power and his presence. This is a young man, one of many. He has some limitations. Before I preach again, he has an association. We would never read anything about this young man were it not for the fact he's associated with someone by the name of Abraham, the man of faith, the man of God, because this young man was associated with the man of faith, with the man of God. That's how we come to meet this young man. The vision that is experienced in this chapter was not to this young man, but he got to see it. The visit of the angels and the Lord in this chapter were not to that young man, but he got to enjoy it. The vow, the promise that was given was not for the young man, but he got to hear it. Hey, because that young man got involved with the man of God and the things of God, I mean, things he had no business being involved in, that's where we are reading about this young man getting to experience the blessings of the Almighty just because he was hanging around. As I was a young man, my daddy would get me around great men of God. In fact, I was scared to be around them. I knew they had God on them. I knew the Holy Ghost was on them. Before I was saved, Daddy got me close to Brother Percy Ray, and I wouldn't even look him eyeball to eyeball because I thought, that man knows I'm going to hell. That man knows I'm not saved. That man knows what I need. He may or may not have. But there are men of God, after I got saved, started wanting to hang around the J. Harold Smiths and the old men of God. And this is what I'd beg. I wouldn't talk. Listen, I wouldn't try to talk to them. I didn't try to interview them. I just tried to get around them. I just wanted to listen to what they had to say, whether they're in the pulpit or out of the pulpit. I wanted to hear what they were saying to other people just so I could pick up on it. I just wanted to hang around it. This young man is just hanging around the man of God, hanging around the man of faith. He has an association. He wanted to be a servant to the man of God. I'm speaking to some young men today and some young ladies. You are wanting to be used of God. You are wanting to be a servant of God. Preacher, how am I going to be used of God? How can I get involved with some things in my life? I feel so distant and I feel so far away. I feel so insignificant. I'm just a young man. I'm just a young lady. I'm just one of many. And preacher, I'm young. I don't know much. I'm very inexperienced. And after all, I'm just a man or a woman. I have flesh. I have limitations. But preacher, what can I do? You need to have an association with the things of God, with the Word of God. That's my introduction. Now, when I look at the Word of God, I see, first of all, in verse 7, I see direction. In verse 7, and Abraham, he's got some visitors, heavenly visitors. Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. Evidently, Abraham, when he fetched this calf and brought it to this young man, he gave him some directions, some guidance, some counsel, some instruction as to how to dress this calf, as to how to prepare the meat for his heavenly visitors that have come. Abraham gives guidance. Will you hear me for a minute? You will never be used of God if you are not willing and you are not able to take instructions. When we had those classes over there for those young men, honest, they ought to have been 15 or 20 people that knew what was going on, or maybe 100 took up on what was going on. We'd have 7 or 8. Not even all the preachers could come or did come. We had 7 or 8. If you want to be used of God, you must be willing to take instruction. If you want to be used of God, you must be willing to receive directions. I know how it works where we live today. Years ago, before GPS, if a fella got lost, his wife begged him to ask somebody for directions. And he would sit there and lie and say, I know right where we are. He didn't know where he was. Didn't have any idea to get back where he's going. He was in a mess. And he just pretended. I'm talking to somebody today. You're just pretending that you know what you're doing. You have no idea how to get from where you are to where you want to go. You don't have a GPS to get you there. Honey, you've got to learn to take instruction and receive direction from the Almighty God. There's just some young people. You can't tell them anything. They will not receive instructions. You try to get in the pulpit, warn them, and they look and say, nah, old dude, that's not the way it works anymore. This is 2021. I'm way beyond where you are. They will not receive counsel or the Word of God. They will not take direction. All they want to do is preach. But they don't want to hear anybody else preach. They don't want to get in the Word of God and dig. They just want to get up there and tell everybody how it ought to be. And they do absolutely no digging on their own. There are young men and young women that you cannot tell them anything. You know why? Because they think they already know it all. And the truth is, they're no different than you were. And this world is filled with people just like that. I just got to move off this. Young man, if you want to be used of God, you've got to learn to listen. You've got to learn how to be obedient. You have got to learn how to serve. There's another thing here about direction. We got to see it. Let's read verse 7 again and take it in context. Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf, tender and good, and he gave it to a young man, and he hasted to dress it. Hasted to dress it. Let's read verse 6 now. Verse 6. Preacher, you're going backwards. It's all right. I'm doing it on purpose. Abraham, when he first had consent from the Lord and the angels to have the visitation with him and have the meal, the first thing he did, Abraham hastened. We've seen that word before. He hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal. Knead it and make cakes upon the hearth. He hasted to go talk to his wife. Look at verse 7. Abraham ran. Do you see? He hasted. Now he's running to the herd. And he fetched a calf tender and good and gave it to a young man. And what did the young man do? He hasted to dress it. Will you hear me for a second about direction? Abraham hasted to Sarah. He ran to the herd. He fetched that calf. He's given instructions to this young man. And this young man not only received the directions, he picked up on the spirit of the directions. That's deep. Oh, that's deep. He saw Abraham's burden. He understood that the man of God was viewing this visitation as important. And this young man picked up on the spirit of the importance of this meeting. Have you a heart for the man of God? Have you a heart for the word of God? Have you a heart for what is happening in the house of God? Or do you only look at it as it pertains to you? What's important to you? This young man was not doing what was important to him. He saw if it's important to Abraham, the man of God, the man of faith, then it ought to be important to me. And he didn't drag his feet. He hastened to dress it. Oh, I'm just saying, what was important at the house of God became important in this young man's life. My brother and I, most of y'all know this about us, we grew up in church and we loved the house of God so much that we started our own church. It was called Backyard Baptist. We took, that's original name. In fact, in my house, we still have the church records and we have the church sign where we did some burning on it. Backyard Baptist. We took tobacco sticks. You can't mention tobacco. Well, honey, go to your happy place. We took tobacco sticks and we nailed them between the trees for little walls. We took 40-gallon barrel drums. Preacher, that's not environmentally correct. We took 40-gallon barrel drums that were empty and flipped them over sideways and we sat on them for pews. We took a wooden pallet. Preacher, you could fall through it and get hurt and get splinters. Yes, we took wooden pallet and laid it upside down, stacked 2 of them on top of each other, put another wooden, a 40-gallon barrel drum, the other, set it up the long way, and used it for a full pulpit. And we preached to any kid that would come play wiffle ball, baseball, basketball on our 7-acre little farm. If we could invite them to come, we'd take them to church first. We invite my grandma. Sometimes she slept through it. Like you, it's okay. And the dogs and the cats. And the dogs and the cats couldn't stand in their pew. They just kind of walked around. But I learned if you'd give them a bone and feed them, they'd lay down there and gnaw a while and looked interested. And I've learned the same thing for the house of God. If you'll feed them something, they'll sit there long enough to act interested. Amen. And they'll gnaw on what you got to say. Amen. Amen. And it'll feed their soul. Now, come a point in time, we had baptized dogs and cats, and the cat scratched us up. And my daddy said, what are y'all doing? I said, we're baptizing a cat. He said, you can't baptize a cat. It'll claw your eyes out. I said, he ought to thought about that before he got saved. Not that they really are saved. I don't know if any of them saved. Amen. But anyway, one day, a boy came to the altar, and I ran. He said, I want to be saved. And I ran to the house. I said, Mom, is Dad home? She said, he just got up from work. I thought, thank God. Dad, get your Bible. There's a boy in the backyard who wants to be saved. He said, there's a boy where? And he wants to what? I said, get your Bible. Come with me. And he got his Bible. There's a boy down weeping on his face. He got saved at Backyard Baptist Church. But then wintertime came, and it got cold, real cold outside, snowing even. So we had to close the services, like a lot of cold churches do. And we moved downstairs to Basement Baptist. And we preached down there. And we'd take up money. We'd take our little allowance, maybe as a dollar. We'd take 50 cents of our dollar, and we'd give it to missions. And we'd get online, get on TV and find some preacher who's sending Bibles, the China preacher. He probably wasn't even really doing that. Well, you know what? We thought he was. And we sent our money to him so he'd send Bibles to China or to Russia or wherever, and we was receiving missions. And our little church. You see, what got important to my family at the house of God got important to me so much. You may say, Preacher Darren, it was just pretend church. Well, the Lord come by and he saved somebody while we had pretend church. And after all, most of us is just pretending church anyway. Preacher, how dare you say that? This young man, look with me, he was willing to take direction. My daddy raised me to where if we needed to change light bulbs, if we needed to dig a ditch, if we needed to mow the grass at the house of God, at the Camp Zion, wherever it was, that's what our family's going to be doing. Learn to receive direction. There's another thing here, verse 7 again. He has some determination. Abraham ran to the herd. He fetched a calf, tender and good, gave it to a young man, and he hasted to dress it. Verse 8. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed, and he set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. Determination. See, watch what this boy did. Abraham gave him instructions how to dress the calf, and he dressed it just exactly how the man of God said. I don't read anything where he was told to bring milk and butter, but he went above and beyond what he was asked to do. You know what you need to learn to do, church? You want to be used of God? Don't just do what's your duty to do. Go above and beyond what he asks you to do. Preacher, I don't know. Oh, I get so tired of hearing people say, well, that's not my job. Don't say that to me. That means you're not a team player. And the last time I saw this, we're a team. We're working together corporately as we serve the Lord. This is everybody's job to call on one another and to pray for one another and to teach and to preach the word. I'm not preaching alone. You're praying as I preach. The Holy Ghost moves as I preach. We're all involved. Do you see that? Hold your place here. In Luke chapter 17, there's a verse of scripture, maybe a couple verses. Verse number 7, Luke 17. Verse 7, one that's not mentioned very much because it's not popular amongst out of what Jesus said. But will you listen? The spirit of which I say this, this young man was determined to go above and beyond what he was asked to do. He has initiative. If you're going to be used of God, you need to go above and beyond. Luke 17:7. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank the servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Preacher, what does that mean? I don't know, 30 plus people are in the choir today, I guess. And I appreciate it. And it was beautiful, and it was encouraging. And as much as I want to thank you and try to encourage you for what you've just done, that's your duty. And I shouldn't have to get up here and say, well, thank you so much. Right? When I get done preaching, you don't have to come to me and say, I just want to thank you. That's my duty. My job is to go above and beyond. It's not just about getting a little three-point outline and delivering it. It's about studying the Word of God and heeding and getting, seeking His face and heeding His voice and delivering what thus saith the Lord. I just don't want to get up here and read you a little outline and deliver you a little poem and go to the house with no burden on it, no prayers on it. No, you would never stand for that. You want to hear a man of God get in that pulpit that has went above and beyond what's expected of him to do. But then you want to turn around and say, well, I'll just show up three times a week, maybe. I'll just come one. Or I'll just tune in online. That's the best I can do. And I've done my duty, and he ought to thank me. There's no thanks. We are unprofitable servants if we just do our duty. That didn't go over well. If you just do what's required of you to do, you're unprofitable. God said if you want to be used, you go above and beyond what is asked for you to do. Now go back to our text. Serving Christ is not a matter of doing just enough to get by. It's a matter of going above and beyond. After all, is that not what he does for you? Did he not say, I will do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think? Aren't you glad that you have a God that goes above and beyond what you ask? That goes above and beyond what you think? If he goes above and beyond, should we do less? Hello. This young man was a man who received direction, and he took it well, and he was obedient to do what he was asked to do. And then he was determined to go above and beyond to be used of God. One more and I'm done. I want you to look in verse 8 at his demonstration. Now he's prepared this calf. He brought butter and milk, and he set it before them, verse 8, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. Now, I've already alluded to the fact that sometimes when we're young, we're not smart. Sometimes when we're young, our inexperience shows. But watch the demonstration of his perception and of his discernment as to what's going on here. Abraham, the Lord, and angels are sitting down to enjoy fellowship and that wonderful meal. And what is the young man who prepared the calf, brought the milk and the butter doing? What is he doing? He's standing by serving. He's not saying, hey, where's my plate? Hey, where's my seat? How come I'm not at the table? You fellas are talking. I have something to say. I have some things to interject. I'm not interrupting. I'm just wanting to take over the meeting. This young man is standing off to the side while Abraham, the Lord, and the angels are fellowshipping. And this young man, as he stands off to the side, is waiting to hear someone say, I have a request. I have a need. Can you bring me this? Can you? Yes, it's my pleasure. It's my pleasure to serve Christ. It's my pleasure to occupy till he comes. It's my pleasure. We need some men, some young men who are willing to say, Lord, I'm just waiting on you. Let me ask you a question. Do you know why he's not sitting down to eat? Because it's not his turn. I want to tell somebody this morning, it'll soon be your turn. There's a changing of the guard that's happening. It'll soon be your turn. But don't you jump up and down, and pout and suck your thumb because you didn't get what you want when you wanted and everybody didn't dance as you played your little fiddle. You need to learn to wait on God. You'll never be over till you learn to be under. This young man, I want to say this. My daddy, we'd go down, we'd dig ditches at the house of God. We'd mow yards, we'd eat, we'd paint. Some of us think that the only thing we ought to ever have to do at our church is to get our opportunity to preach. And if he don't ask me, I ain't going. Some of us think the only reason I'm going to go to that church is get my opportunity to teach my Sunday school class. And I'll not be back till next Sunday when I'm ready to teach it, when I'm asked to teach it again. Something might be wrong with that. Are you more involved in just that? Are you really burdened about what God's doing in your community? God's doing in your church? God's doing in your family? Oh, Preacher Darren, what are you trying to say? Honey, I'm not trying to judge you. You look this morning at yourself. Some of you, if you want to be used of God, you may have to learn to haul some mulch around the church. You may have to learn how to plant some flowers. You may have to learn how to look at some people and actually smile at them and say, God bless y'all. Good to have y'all today. Boy, we're really slacking on this thing. We're just talking about a young man. This young man got to see the Lord show up that day. He got to listen to all those promises, listen to his testimony. Hey, y'all should have seen what I seen today. Hey, y'all should have heard what I heard today. I was in a place I shouldn't have been, but God let me see heavenly things today just because I was willing to be a servant. We need young men, 50, 60, 70, 30, 20, 14, whatever it is, that are like that young man. I'm done right here. I've got a bunch of these to share, but I'm just going to give one and I'm done. My daddy took me to Camp Zion, Myrtle, Mississippi, every year. My dad attended twice, March, the end of July, 1st of August, twice a year. In March, I'm in school, so I couldn't go, but July, August, he took us every year. We heard preaching from 8 o'clock in the morning until 11 and 12 o'clock at night. We took a break to go to the big dining hall over there, how 40-some people fed thousands. I'll never know other than know it was God. I've seen thousands of people saved. I've seen people getting saved in the altar. So many people getting saved, you couldn't find a place to fall. And one time, I needed to go to the bathroom, and when I got up to leave and to walk out, and it liked to kill me as to what was going on. There was more getting saved in the lobby than was getting saved in the altar. People that had got up to walk away was getting right. And then their youth groups and thought, it was unbelievable. And man, I grew up hearing those great men of God from Minnesota, Michigan, Missouri, Montana, Washington State, out of Maryland, North Carolina. I heard great men of God preach year after year. Man, it didn't do anything but fire me up. But one day, I hadn't been the pastor here maybe 4 or 5 years. I was down praying. I often just stopped by to pray. And God said, I want you to go to Mississippi. It's your turn. So I took up a collection from the church. And I said, y'all, let's pass a love offering. And I want to take that love offering. I felt like that. It's our turn. I don't know how that you can feed 2,500, 300, 3,000 people with 40 people. How you do that? So I thought, God wants us to get involved. I'm going to take a love offering down there. I went down there, and I've got my love offering in my pocket. It's like the very first or second day we're there. The night services starts at 7 o'clock, and then the first full day starts the next morning at 8. I'm sitting there, 11:30 in the morning, waiting for that second night's offering to be taken so I can put the offering in from the church. And this is what I heard. Brother Darren Waldrop, Spruce Pine, North Carolina.
Will you make your way to the platform? You'll be our next preacher. What, Lord? I started to cry because I sure didn't go to preach. Those are men of God that I fear, heroes of my faith. This is a ground that when I walk on it, I get glory bumps. You know what I mean? When I walk on the grounds, when I go to the old sanctuary where the men of God would meet, I get up, start making my way. God said, it's your turn. I thought it was just to take up offering. I didn't know I was going, what am I going to do now? What am I going to say? What am I going to tell these people? I cried all the way down the aisleway. 7 steps up to the first part of the platform. 7 more up to the next part of the platform. I got up there to the moderator, hugged my neck, and gave me a microphone, and I thought, God, don't fail me now. If I've ever needed to preach, it's now. Martin and John Jackson were with me that day. I had hitched a ride with them to go early that morning, and our plan was for them to take me back to the motel at like 12 o'clock when the preacher finished preaching so we could take our 1-hour lunch break and come back. Y'all remember that? And I finished preaching. Everybody else there at the camp, now they go to the dining hall, and I could have went there, but I hated to go to the dining hall and eat with everybody else. And I've hitched a ride with them. Gina wasn't able to go that morning. And I finished preaching. And I knew he'd be punctual. 30 minutes and be done. When I finished preaching, I turned over the camp director and people started filling the altars. I didn't give an invitation. I went and sat down. People started shouting and praising God. If I wouldn't have done what I was supposed to do, I'd have missed God so bad that day. Martin, John, tell you, I mean, first I thought Sister Mark was aggravated at me. Because as I went back, the moderator said, Brother Darren, will you come back up here? And I did, and there's a line formed of people. It went all the way across this way and back down there that way to the back end of that sanctuary. People wanting us to come by. Love me. Shake my hand. Want me to sign their Bible. I don't understand that. But wanted me to put a verse of scripture down and sign their Bible. Kids from Mississippi, kids from Tennessee, Michigan, Minnesota. I seen Sister Mark. She was sitting on the edge of the pew like this, and she's like, "We're supposed to get back for the meal. Look at this line that's developed. I mean, what are we going?" And then she started realizing. I mean, honest. When I got done, they were ready to come back in for the next service, and we still hadn't left yet. And I signed the last one. Hugged her neck, and I said, Mark, John, I'm so sorry. I've messed us up for lunch. I'm so sorry. And Mark looked at me and she said, Preacher, at first, I was a little bit concerned that we weren't going to make it. And she said, then I got to thinking, that's my pastor that God's using up there. And I've got associated with my pastor. And she said, and it blessed me. And you couldn't apologize to me because it's blessed me. It's blessed me. And it's blessed me. And yes, we still left to go get something to eat. But I want to tell you something. What we need is some people and a man behind the sacred desk who's willing to say, God, I'm willing to receive direction. Lord, I want to give a demonstration. I want to go above and beyond. And God, please, most of all, help me, Lord, to do what you say do. When you say do it, get me involved in what's going on. Oh, church, will you stand to your feet? We need a people that's determined. There's a young, I'm telling you, God has spoken to me and said, there's some young people, a young man that I have this intended for today. He's discouraged. You encourage him. Seth, have you come? I preached the best I knew how what the Lord laid on my heart. And I know it's strange out of that section. There's so much more than what I preached this morning. But there's got to be some young men and some young women in this church that say, oh, I may be one of many. I may be a nobody. I may be limited. But I want to be associated with the Holy Ghost. I want to be associated with the Word of God and the things of God. Oh, Lord, would you touch my family? Oh, Lord, would you touch my journey with you? God, show me how I can be a servant and be used for the Most High God. It's more than just being in front of people teaching or preaching. It's being used when I'm not in the limelight. But my time will come. My time will come. Father, this morning, I thank you for the good word of God. I praise you and I honor you. And I thank you, Father, for an unnamed young man, a servant of God, who is but a symbol, an illustration, and a picture to me today of what I need to be. Lord, forgive me then of pride and arrogance and stubbornness. And God, I pray that our hearts might be tenderized to the things of God, that we might learn how to receive instruction and take the direction of Almighty God, and that we might be determined to go above and beyond, and that we today, Lord Jesus, God help us, that we might be used of God. Lord, we're asking your help now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.